Welcome and thanks for listening to this podcast by Christ United. For more information about our church, visit christislove.org.
Good morning. Hey guys, I'm Jeff. I'm lead pastor here at Christ United. I want to ask you something. If God has been good to you this week, will you give him what he deserves? Like, give it. This week we made a promise to you. We're in a series called Shadow Mission, but we said we're ultimately going to get to your true mission. And we said this, if you would hang in here, you would leave knowing without a shadow of a doubt exactly what your mission is. And you would know exactly how to live in that mission. That promise still stands. Tune in, stay strong, because you're going to know it when you leave here today. And so first thing I want to get to as we talk about that is the reason that people get monkeyed up about trying to find their true mission is they get their mission and their occupation all wrapped up together. And your occupation is simply this. Your occupation is your job, okay? And your occupation being your job, you may be a surgeon or a school teacher, or you may be, your occupation may be a student or a stay-at-home mom. Whatever it is that your occupation is, your job, I want you to know that is not your mission. It's not that a certain job defines my mission, and if I'm not in that job, then I'm not in my mission. In fact, you can fulfill your mission in all kinds of jobs. Great examples of this, if you're not a Christ follower or you've never read the Bible, I would encourage you to read some of these stories, like the story of Esther. Esther was a queen, and she was right in the center of God's mission for her as a queen. But there's also a lady named Ruth, who was actually a beggar. She was a widow, and she was having to live with her mother-in-law, who was also a widow, and she was basically saying, I will work for food to pick it up off the ground behind people. And yet, she was in the center of God's mission for her life. And then there was a lady named Rahab, who was a prostitute. And as a prostitute, God led her to the center of his mission for her, even at that time. And sometimes we're led out because of accepting God's mission, out of a certain occupation as she was. But she, while she was still a prostitute, was led to the center of God's mission for her and then stepped out of that prostitution into what it was God had for her. So here's the deal. The good news for you is this. It does not matter what your occupation is. I don't care if you are a brain surgeon or a janitor. I don't care if you are a stay-at-home dad or you are a professor. It does not matter. It doesn't matter if you're a student. It doesn't matter if you're a busboy. Wherever you are, God is saying your mission can be fulfilled regardless of what your occupation is. Now, other people then go, okay, then it's not just my occupation. What I'm really looking for is that thing we would call a vocation. If you don't know what a vocation is, that word comes from a Latin word, vocare, which means calling. And so vocation has always had this connotation that it's not just a job. It's not just something where I'm occupying space, but this is the job I believe I'm called to do. So some people here have a vocation in mind. Well, I'm supposed to sing for God. I'm going to go all around the world. I'm going to do concerts for God. Or I'm supposed to be a pastor. Or I'm supposed to be something special. And so you have this idea of this certain vocation, this calling, this job you feel you're called to do. And you think, when I get into that, then I'll fulfill my mission. Because the vocation and the mission are all together. Well, here's the reality. That is not your mission. Your vocation, even that thing you feel called to do, is not your mission. And let me explain by taking the life of David. And if you're unfamiliar with the Bible, look up these 1 and 2 Samuel, starting in chapter 16 of 1 Samuel. You'll find this beautiful, beautiful story of this guy named David. Now, here's the interesting thing about him. He had been anointed as the king of Israel. So huge vocation, huge job that he felt called to do because God had said, you're going to do this big job, which is going to be the king. But he was not yet king. He already knew that one day he would be in this great vocation, but at the time, he was a shepherd, which is the lowliest job you could possibly have, okay? It's the stink job. So he was in the stink job, and in addition to that, he was a part-time musician, and he was also a servant to a king. So part-time servant to a king, part-time musician, and part-time slap a nasty, rotten job, shepherd was his job. He was not in his great vocation when he did something that most people, regardless if you go to church or not, you can answer this question. It's David and Goliath. David and Goliath, his facing the giant, happened before he ever entered his vocation. Does that make sense? After he entered his vocation, the most memorable thing about him after he entered his vocation was what? Adultery with Bathsheba, right? And so being in your vocation does not mean you're in your mission. He was as far out of his mission at one point during his vocation as he could possibly be. Does that make sense? And yet before he ever entered his vocation, he was dead center in the mission that God had for him. Same is true for you. I don't care what it is you feel called to do one day. I don't care what it is, the job you believe that you were called to do. God's saying your mission does not begin when you get to that job. Your mission is now. And you need to be living that mission now. Now, I want to jump right over that next one about location and go to this one, my function. Because many people think that my function, that's really your role within your current part in the ministry. It's what you do. It's in the body of Christ. We all have a function. We have a part to play in that body. And many of us think that if I could just get into my right function or my right part in the body, if I could get into my right part in the ministry, then I would be fulfilling my mission. And so you think to yourself, well, you know, I'm just serving as a greeter, or I'm just serving on the, you know, on the choir, or I'm just serving in the children's ministry, rocking babies. I'm just serving by cleaning the church or whatever. And you think, if I get into my real function, you know, that place where I can really do it, then I'll be in my mission. And I want to tell you, it's true here as it is everywhere else. Your current part in the ministry is not your mission. You can fulfill your mission regardless of the places that God might call you to fulfill in the ministry. Let me give you a great example of that. It's a guy named Barnabas. There's probably never been a guy who did it better as a follower of Christ and as a part of a ministry than Barnabas did. But if you read in the book of Acts, you find out that at one point, he was functioning just as a guy with the gift of giving. He took his property and sold it. And as he gave that money to the apostles, they took it and fed hungry people and took care of those in need. So he was in the function, the role of just exercising a gift of giving, and God used that powerfully. There was another point where he was exercising his gift of encouragement, which is what his name means, son of encouragement, where he was encouraging and edifying, and he took Paul, introduced him to the other apostles, and let Paul get in a place where he was affirmed in his ministry, and God used that powerfully. So just using his gift of encouragement. At another point, you find him where he's teaching and he's helping to grow up believers, and you see him using that teaching gift. At another point, it would be apparent that he's out there evangelizing as well, helping to lead people into a relationship with Christ. But here's the cool thing about it. Regardless of what he was doing, he was in the center of his mission throughout the whole process. Let me try to bring it to make more sense to you currently. There's a lady in our church. How many women here have ever been to our bathroom? If you've been, I mean, that's a personal question. I'm so sorry. Some of you are like, I don't need to tell you that. But if you've ever been in there's pretty stones in there, right? We don't have them in our bathroom. I won't tell y'all what we got in the men's bathroom. We got it going on in there. But you've got the stones. And you got the stones in there. Do you know that every single week there's a lady who goes in and washes those stones for you? And she also goes in and cleans the rest of the restroom. Now, she also happens to have a gift of intercession, which means she prays for you. And she walks up and down the rows of this sanctuary and prays for you every week. She also has a gift of prophecy. And so she will share words sometimes that are from God for the encouragement of the body or the encouragement of somebody. So she has these gifts and these functions that she has within the body of Christ. But I want to tell you that when she's washing rocks, and when she's cleaning the restroom, and when she's making that difference, she is as much in her mission then as she is when she's walking these aisles praying or when she's prophesying. Does that make sense to everybody? God is just saying, look, I'm telling you that you can fulfill your mission regardless of what function I call you to take in the body of Christ. So what does it mean then when we start thinking about this whole location deal? Because most people think I can fulfill my mission one day when I get in the right location. Whether it's the right job, the right function, I get in the right vocation. If I just get in the right location somehow, I mean, maybe the reason I'm not fulfilling my mission is because I'm in the wrong job. If I just got in the right job, or maybe I'm living in the wrong city. If I move to the right city, I've got this idea that somehow I got to get to that place where I can fulfill my mission. Here's the truth about your location. My present sphere of influence is all my location is. Wherever you're located right now is your present sphere of influence. You are around certain people. You have an opportunity to influence them and make a difference where you are. It is really your current assignment. So whatever your location is, you just need to recognize that right now, wherever I am, is where it is that God is going to equip me and use me. It's my current assignment. It's my present sphere of influence. And I'm going to use it that way until He moves me somewhere else. That's my job. And so if you want to, again, if you've never read the Bible, you'll love reading Genesis 37 through 50 about a guy named Joseph. His position or his location at one time was being the favored son of his father. But then he ended up in a place where he was a servant to a pagan leader. It was a horrible place. And then he went from there to where he was a servant to a jailer while he was a prisoner in a pagan nation. And then he went from there to a position or a location where he was actually in this vocation of being second in command over all of Egypt and saving the world through the process. But here's the thing. Throughout his whole life, he never lost thought about this, that he was on his mission. He was as much on his mission when he was a servant to the jailer where he was jailed in a foreign country as he was when he was second in command over all of Egypt. Do y'all understand what we're saying? And if he had lost sight of that, if he had lost sight of that and thought, I've got to get to a certain location and then I can do my mission, he would have never reached his ultimate potential. And God's saying the same thing to you. Your location is nothing but your present sphere of influence. It is your current assignment. Do it well. Look at this. You can also read about, back to Daniel. And you guys go back and read the book of Daniel and you'll find that this guy's much the same. From when he was among the nobility in Jerusalem to when he was taken off to Egypt and, to Babylon by Nebuchadnezzar. And so he's in a pagan nation and he's serving as like a slave there. All the way to when later, even as a slave to one nation, now another nation takes over that nation and he's a slave to another pagan leader. He's just doing whatever he's told, and he's a leader in the process because he's recognizing the whole time that where I am is my present sphere of influence, and he did it well. Do you know when Daniel made the greatest, most memorable impact in fulfilling his mission? It was Daniel in the lion's den. If you don't know what I'm talking about, go and read that. Read the book of Daniel, and you'll see that when he had his greatest opportunity to have the greatest impact, the most memorable thing he ever did was when he was in a lion's den. So think about your location and understand that God wants to fulfill his mission in you. So maybe by now you may be getting it, and you're going like, well, if it's not my occupation, and it's not my vocation, and it's not, my function, and it's not the location where I am, what is it? What determines my mission? Here is your mission. You will remember this forever because it was set for you by the one who set the example for you. Jesus came not just to give his life to die for you. He came to live his life as an example for you. Do you understand that? He came to live his life as an example for you. And when you are a Christian, it means you're a follower of Christ. You're following his example. And here was his example. Here's his mission statement. He said this, "My true mission is to do the will of him who sent me." To do the will of him who sent me. Listen to this. "For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me." That's why I'm here. And here's what's interesting about how he did that. Is he did that regardless of where he was. Most of what Jesus did had nothing to do with a particular occupation or a particular vocation. It had nothing to do with a particular location. Wherever he was going, he would encounter people and he would fulfill the purpose of glorifying his Father and meeting the needs of people and making the difference. He was on his mission 24/7. And he taught his disciples to do exactly that thing. So watch this. You will notice that most of the miracles he did, most of the teaching he did, most of the things that Jesus did, he did while he and his disciples were just going through life for 3 years. And he was showing them every day, every moment, you're going to have opportunities to fulfill your mission. And so one time, they're on their way traveling through Samaria. And when they get into Samaria, the guys are going into town to buy something to eat. And whenever they're on their way to buy something to eat, he's just tired. Sits down by a well. When he sits down by that well, he's still on his mission. So when along comes a Samaritan woman, he begins to share with her. He turns her life around. She goes back into the city and starts turning lives around. His disciples come back and they say, "You need to eat something. You're hungry, aren't you?" And he said, "I got food you know nothing about." And then Jesus said this. It was powerful. They said, maybe he got food from somewhere else, you know, instead of us. And he said, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." Jesus just said, "Look, I'm on my mission all the time. You guys are thinking about lunch. I'm thinking about my mission." Do you get it? I'm thinking about my mission even during lunch. I'm thinking about my mission all the time. It is my food to do the will of him who sent me. That's why I came, and that's why I do what I do. And so listen to me. If you're a person who's sitting there thinking, if only Jesus would get me out of this job. I hate this job. This job's so hard, and the people are so mean, and I feel so useless, and all this stuff that you're feeling about your job. And you're thinking that if only God were to get me into, you know, the real vocation, the thing I know I'm gifted to do that's going to change the world. If God were to do for me and just get me in the right spot, if he would just get me in the right location, if I just wasn't in the environment that I'm in, somehow I would make a difference. God is saying to you, don't you get it? Your mission is right now, right where you are, in your current sphere of influence. You are entitled, you are called by God right now to do the will of your Father where you are. And listen to this in case you're wondering about, well, why didn't he set me up to make a difference? Listen to how Jesus was set up to make a difference. If you know of a guy named James Heffley, don't agree with everything James says, but I love this that James said. It was really powerful. He said, "Here is a man," speaking of Jesus, "here is a man who was born in an obscure village. He was the child of a peasant woman. He worked in a carpenter shop until he was 30 years old, and then for 3 years he was an itinerant preacher. He never wrote a book. He never held an office. He never owned a home. He never had a family. He never went to college. He never put his foot in a large city. He never traveled 200 miles from the place that he was born. He never did one thing that is generally considered to be associated with greatness. He had no credentials except for himself. He had no care for this world other than the divine power of his manhood that God had given him by his Spirit." And then he says this. He says, "While he was still a young man, the tide of public opinion turned against him. And he was turned over to his enemies. He went through the mockery of a trial. And then he was nailed to a cross between two thieves. His executioners gambled for the only possession that he had on earth while he was dying, and that was his coat. And after he died, he was taken down from the cross, and he was laid in a borrowed grave through the sympathy of a friend. Such was his human life." And then he says, "He rises from the dead. And 19 wide centuries have come and gone. And today, he is the centerpiece of the human race. He is the leader of the column of progress." He is, listen. He said, "I am within the mark when I say that all the armies that have ever marched, and all the navies that have ever been built, and all the parliaments that have ever sat, and all the kings that have ever reigned put together have not impacted human life on this earth as powerfully as that one solitary life." Anybody agree? And so listen to what he's saying to you. Listen to what he's saying to you. He's saying, "Don't you get it? I made all that impact because I was on my mission all the time. I never had any of the things you're waiting on to make your difference. The only thing I had was a calling to do the will of my Father in heaven, and that's your job. Here's who you are in case you didn't know it. I am a servant of Christ Jesus." Paul, when he described himself this way. He constantly introduced himself. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle. That's who he was. Now, he was a tent maker. That was his occupation. And he did that all the time so that he wouldn't be a burden to anybody. So he had a job, but his job didn't define his mission. As a matter of fact, within his job, he fulfilled his mission. The apron he wore while he was doing his tent work, people would be healed by touching the apron. The reality is he recognized that, look, I am a servant of Jesus Christ. My identity is not a tent maker. And even as he said, an apostle, I'm first a servant. I would be a servant of Jesus, whether I was an apostle or a rock washer. I would do it, whatever it is that God's called me to do. And even when he introduced himself as an apostle, he would say, by the will of God, because the only thing I'm doing is fulfilling the will of him who sent me. That's my mission and that's my purpose. And regardless of his location, he did it. Whether he was shipwrecked on an island on his way somewhere, or whether he was in prison waiting to die, Paul never stopped fulfilling his one purpose, which was to do the will of his Father in heaven. I am a servant of Christ Jesus. And so let me ask you this. How about you? I want to ask you, do you realize, regardless of your occupation, I don't care what that occupation is. And again, it may be not. If you're a drug dealer, he's probably going to lead you out of that. I would just guess. But here's the reality. It's right now, you might have some people you need to influence where you are while you're in that. The reality is right now, God is saying to you, whatever your job is, I don't care if you're a janitor or you are a bank president. I don't care if you're a school teacher or a stay-at-home dad. I don't care if you're a student. I don't care what your role is. I'm saying this to you. Colossians 3, 23 and 24 says this, and this is written to people who were slaves. They were slaves, and Paul said this, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. He says, because you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. The truth is, I don't care what your job is, open your eyes. When Jesus had been in to buy that food and came back out, and he saw his disciples, when they had been in to buy food and they had come back out and they found Jesus during lunchtime caring about what really mattered, which was the life of this woman who had come to draw water from that well. Whenever they said, aren't you going to have something to eat? He was saying, my eyes and my heart and my life is about doing the will of him who sent me. I'm on my mission, man. Don't get me distracted from my mission. And God is saying to you, I want you to open your eyes and see what I see. He said to his disciples right after that, he said, open your eyes and look at the fields. They're ripe for harvest. There are people all around you that need to be touched. Start recognizing the fact that you are where you are because there are people who need to be influenced by you. There are people who need to be loved by you in your classroom, in the job that you function in the neighborhood, in your context. God is saying, open your eyes and see it and do whatever you do with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, because you'll receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. Now, if you're waiting and you're saying to yourself, oh yeah, well, one of these days, I'm going to be out of this dead-end job and this thing. You don't know the people I work with, and they're so profane, and they're so unappreciative, and they're so bad. And God's saying, who needs Jesus more than bad, unappreciative, profane people need the Lord, right? He's saying, I want you to get yourself out of this, and I want you to start seeing yourself where you truly are. And if you're waiting for some great vocation to come along, I want you to remember something God would say. My servant David started fulfilling his mission before he ever entered his vocation. He did it while he was taking care of stinky sheep. He did it while he was serving a king, not being king. And he was fulfilling his mission. That's when he slew Goliath. And if you aren't going to do it now, you'll never do it. If you won't be obedient to God now, if you won't start fulfilling your mission now in your job where you are, don't expect him to move you somewhere else, because if you won't do it where you are, you won't do it somewhere else. But if you'll do it where you are, if you'll fulfill your purpose where you are, he makes this beautiful promise. He says, listen, first of all, currently I'm serving. Let me back up right here. Dag, I missed it. I don't even have it up there. I don't know why I'm moving this around. I'm just going to stop right here. Boom. All right. Now, pretend all that didn't happen. We'll cut it out of the video. It'll just be like, he's smooth. He just right in there. All right, you ready? Here's reality. Is God saying to you, look, if you'll be faithful with a few things, Matthew 25, 21, I'll put you in charge of many things. I just need you to be faithful where you are. I need you to be faithful where you are. With the occupation you're in right now, with the location you're in right now, I need you to be faithful where you are. And if you'll be faithful where you are, if I need you someplace else, I'll put you someplace else. But having been faithful where you are, I'll put you where you need to be. And where you need to be, it doesn't matter where that is. It can be eating lunch, or it can be in prison. Wherever I need to put you, at whatever time I need to put you, I'm going to put you in the location that I need you, and I will use you to make the difference that I've been called, that I have called you to make. And so it does not matter. It doesn't matter if you're a surgeon, or a busboy. It does not matter if you're a stay-at-home dad or a professor. It does not matter if you are a student or you are serving your time in incarceration, which some people listening right now are. It doesn't matter. It does not matter. God's saying, I want you to know that right now you're fulfilling the most important job on the planet. You are doing the most important thing you can possibly do. I have given you a mission, and there is no higher mission, and there is no more important part in that mission than the part that you play. And you may think to yourself right now, but not me. But not me. See, Jeff, you are, you know, you're like an ordained minister. Did y'all know I'm ordained? Do you know if they call me what they call? They're supposed to call me Reverend. I also have a doctoral degree. That's Reverend Doctor. Reverend Dr. Dunn. I'm ordained. You know what that means? That means that I have had 12 years of post-high school education. I have been examined, and somebody has said, we need to set you apart for a purpose, and that purpose is, and all the elders come and lay hands on me and ordain me to ministry. And people go like, now you got something serious going on, right? Here's the reality. It's tragic that anybody would even think that somehow somebody who's gone through a certain amount of education or done a certain thing or taken a certain function within the body of Christ is somehow doing something more important than everybody else. Because here's the reality. Every single one of you are ordained. I want to tell you what ordained means. Ordained means that you have been assigned and you have been filled. You have been assigned and you have been filled. God has assigned you. He's assigned you a place. He has assigned you an opportunity. He has assigned you a sphere of influence. He has assigned to you an opportunity for you to fulfill the mission of doing the will of Him who sent you. And you are a servant of Christ Jesus wherever you are, and you are ordained for that. That means God has assigned you to the place He wants you, and He has filled you with His Spirit. The Bible says that He pours out His Spirit on all flesh, on all those who believe in Him and trust in Him. And God is saying to you right now, you are ordained. Now, I could probably get kicked out as a pastor for saying that, but it's just the truth. The truth is that your role in the body of Christ is equally important to anybody else's in the body of Christ, and you have been set apart for that purpose. I was listening one time to a pastor years ago, and he said that he was talking with a gentleman, I believe, asking him what was his job, you know, and people are just constantly introducing themselves as, well, you know, I'm a doctor, and I'm a teacher, and that kind of stuff. And so it was Chuck Swindoll, I believe, the guy asking the question. And Chuck said, well, you know, how about you? And his answer was, my name is Fred. I'm an ordained plumber. Isn't that a beautiful expression? I am an ordained plumber. And he got it. He got the fact that, wait a minute, I'm a plumber, but first of all, I'm a servant of Christ Jesus. My mission is to do the will of Him who sent me, and He who sent me has me plumbing right now. And while I'm plumbing right now, I've got the opportunity to fulfill the mission that God has given me in my sphere of influence. In my current assignment, I am an ordained plumber. And so, y'all, I was in a hospital with a gentleman that I love who was bleeding from his neck. And so there's a nurse there with her fingers on his neck, keeping pressure to stop the bleeding in his neck. And as I was praying for him, and we were just lifting him up before God, that precious little nurse with her fingers on his neck holding the blood back just lifted her hands up in the air and bowed her head and closed her eyes. And I said in that moment, that's an ordained nurse. That's a nurse who's fulfilling the mission of doing God's purpose, doing the will of the one who sent her. He put her there. Do you believe that? He has her there for purpose, and she's fulfilling that purpose in that place. I was taking a gentleman to the hospital, and I was talking to him about his job. He's a cab driver. And I said, just tell me about your cab driving. And I said, and tell me about your relationship with God later in the conversation. And here's what he said. He said, every time I put my hands to the wheel in that cab, I just say to Jesus, where are we going? He said, because I believe that God just leads me to the people I need to be in touch with, and everybody who gets in this cab, I believe I'm responsible for praying for them and making a difference in their life. It is my mission. It is my mission. I want to ask you something. Could you leave here today, honest to God saying it? I am an ordained plumber. I'm an ordained teacher. I am an ordained student. I am an ordained busboy. I am an ordained surgeon. or I am an ordained janitor. I don't care what your role is or what your purpose is. I am a servant of Jesus Christ. And you want to know your mission? Right now, I want you to fill it in and fill in the blank. I am an ordained what? What are you? What's your current assignment? Where has God got you? Right now, you're fulfilling His purpose, wherever your location, whatever it is that you're doing. Right now, you might be saying, I'm an ordained homeless person. And I'm an ordained homeless person, and He'll probably lead me out of homelessness into a job real soon. But right now, I'm functioning in the will of God to do what God has called me to do in my current circumstance. Told you you would know what your mission is. How many people realize this? My true mission? To do the will of Him who sent me. 24/7, everywhere I go. Can you leave here with that on your mind? How many people here could leave here with this on my mind? I am a servant of Christ Jesus. And my mission is to do the will of Him who sent me. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Get my eyes open and start doing what God put me on earth to do. Lord God, would You take this? Would You make it a reality in our hearts and our lives? And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The altar is open for anybody who wants to come down for ordination, who wants to come down and kneel before God and say, God, this day I want to consecrate myself to Your purposes. I want You to fulfill me and use me. I want You to appoint me. I want You to make me aware every day of what You have for me. Let's stand and we invite You to come.
Thanks again for listening to this podcast by Christ United. For more information, visit us at ChristIsLove.org.